Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good to see y'all out this morning. Good to see, I think that's Brother Honeycutt walked in the back. What a blessing. Hopefully some of you prayed for him. Good to see him walk in. I appreciate that. Well, we're still over in the book of 1 John, chapter number 4. I'm going to try to wrap this chapter up today. 1 John, chapter 4, and we've been here for a pretty good spell, but I've been talking about the maturity of the believer through the love of God. That's what this is all dealing with. But and how important this is, and John as he wrote through the Holy Ghost, he made it a big subject here, and he's not alone. The Apostle Paul mentioned it a lot as well, and we'll look at some of that here in a minute, but. But we were finished last week looking at the effects of the love of God in the lives of believers, particularly. So let's pick up reading once again here in verse number 17. It says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar.
Yep.
For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Mm-hmm. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." And so we last week we were talking about several things there in verse number 17. Well, we looked at part of verse 16 as well, but verse 17, the first thing we see is the completion that God expects in every believer. He expects us to get to a place of maturity in the love of God. He says, "Herein is our love made perfect." That's not, and once again, I just remind you all, that's not saying that you're going to be perfect.
Right.
Not what it's talking about. But it's talking about our love getting to a place of maturity, Brother Creston, where we can love people past themselves, past who they are. And now, honestly, you know, John, when he's talking, he's particularly talking about brethren. If you notice, in his context, Nathaniel, that's talking about me loving you.
Yep.
And me loving Jesse, in spite of sometimes we might hurt each other's feelings.
Yep.
I'm not saying that these guys hadn't hurt my feelings, but I'm not saying that, but... But understand, there's times that brothers and sisters, you ever have a brother and sister at home? There's times it's easy. My kids, man. If anybody can make each other mad quicker, it's them. And if we're not careful, it's like sometimes we get so comfortable with each other that we let things out that shouldn't ever come out.
Oh, yes.
And we say things we ought not say.
Right.
We look at people in ways we ought not look at them.
Right.
We have attitudes that we ought not have.
Yep.
And sometimes it becomes hard to love one another. But not if you're where you're supposed to be with the Lord.
Yes.
And that's what John's dealing with here, really. But we're not just supposed to love our brethren. We're supposed to love everybody.
Oh, yes.
But anyway, there's a completion that's supposed to occur, and we're supposed to get to a point where we can love people in spite of what they are, what they've done, all of those things, but we love them in the way that... Really, the way that God loves them. He loved us past all that.
Oh, yeah.
Way past all that. And we'll get there here in just a little bit. But we see a completion here. Herein is our love made perfect. That's what He desires us to get to, that place of maturity, completion. But then also, the second thing we saw in verse 17 was the confidence. He says that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. See, how do you have boldness when you stand before God?
Oh, yes, brother.
You can't on anything you do.
Right.
Anything done in the flesh, I mean,
go ahead, Josh.
That won't do anything but burn.
Right.
So how do we have confidence? We have to do it in a perfect love situation.
Oh, yes.
Everything that... We have to understand that our motives has to be something beyond something for me. I can't be doing what I do for me. Everything that I do needs to be motivated by the love that I have for God and the love that I have for my fellow man, my brethren. And so if you want to have anything on the day of judgment, when all those works pass through the fire, you got to make sure that your motives are right in all that. That your motive is love. Love for God, love for men. And if it's not that, if it's you know, a greedy motive, if it's selfish, if it's you're wanting glory, the only glory you're going to get is here.
Right.
And you will not have confidence in that day.
Yep.
You'll have nothing to show for any of your work here. But the desire, I hope, of every believer here is that I want to be confident when I stand before the Lord that there's some things that I did out of love that I was motivated for because of love. And I hope today that you think on that. And everything that we do for the glory of God, this Africa trip, it ought not be a vacation for these people.
Right.
Why should they do that? It ought to be a motivation of love for the Lord, love for them people.
Oh, yes.
And if it's anything else, then it's not going to prosper.
Right.
But if it's done out of love, guess what will happen? It'll be obvious. Then people can see love. Do you know that?
Oh, yes.
Now, they can't see your heart, Brother Steve. They can't look into your heart. But what they see is what you do. They see your face when you do it. They see the joy in your heart when you do things. I don't know how to explain all that, but you know what I'm talking about. We can see things through people's actions and attitudes. And it's special to see somebody do something out of joy because they love somebody versus somebody doing something out of obligation.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you ever witness to somebody out of obligation?
Oh, I have.
Me too. There's times you just do it because you know that you're supposed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Does it accomplish much that way? Sometimes it's best just to give them the word of God in those situations. Go on. But if you can do it and your heart's in the right place and you're motivated by love, it seems to go a lot further, don't it?
Oh, yeah.
If you've ever been in those places, we go out witnessing, you know, try to every other week, and you do that, and you see the difference. When you can go in love, and then sometimes you don't. Just different. That's just the reality of it. But we want to do what we do and have confidence that one of these days we're going to stand before the Lord, and He's going to be pleased with those things. So, anyway, let's move on. But the latter part of verse 17, so let's read that again. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So the last thing here we're going to look at in this verse is that we have a commission. As He is, so are we in this world.
That's right.
It is our job to look like Christ in this world.
Amen.
We are His ambassadors, Paul said.
Yeah.
And when you're out and about and you're naming the name of Christ, guess what you are representing? You're representing Him.
Yep.
And that's a high calling. That's a very important calling.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're not to do that loosely. We're not supposed to do that in a way that would bring reproach on Him. That's why we're told, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ to depart from iniquity, right? We're supposed to live in a way that we're blameless, that people see that love in our hearts.
Yes, sir.
Because that's the way Christ lived. You see, at the end of Christ's life, what could they say about Him? Pilate said, I find no fault in this man, because there was none to find. Guess how we ought to live? You say, we can't do that. Well, we ought to. Regardless of whether you can or can't. Our testimony toward mankind, we ought to be blameless.
Yes.
You say, that's steep. Yeah, it's steep. But Christian, that's our calling. That's our calling. How do you do that? Well, first off, you got to grasp the love of God. And when you understand His love for you, then you can translate that into your love for others.
Right.
And your love for Him, obviously. We'll get to that here shortly too. But when you do that, what happens? Romans 13 teaches us, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, love worketh no ill.
That's right.
no ill. If you love, you've fulfilled the law, the Scripture says. That's how we do this. Everything we do ought to be done out of love. Has to be. If we're going to be where we're supposed to be, if we're going to be made perfect in His love, that's what you got to do. It's not easy, but it's expected. It's our commission. It is our jobs to live our lives and to love like Christ. That's what we're called to do. So we're supposed to be the salt and the light of this world. We are what people see of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinners are not going to be out there reading the Bible, by and large. They're just not. They're not going to read it. If they do read it, if they're not saved, they ain't going to understand it. No way. And so the only thing that you can do is go out there and live a life and show them the love of Christ. And that's what we're to do. And sometimes in the world that we live in, especially, it seems like, and it's probably just always been this way, but it seems like it's getting worse. Everybody where we live is saved.
Sure. There they are.
Oh, yeah.
You all know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Everybody you talk about, they're saved. They've been to church at some point in their life, and they've prayed, or they've repeated some words or something. And I don't know, it seems like we get hardened. You ever get hardened to that? It's hard for us to love. I don't know how to explain that for me, but it's frustrating. That's what it is. And if we're not careful, we will let that frustration impact the way that we live and we love.
You're right.
And you can sometimes, you ever been witnessing somebody and they start that stuff and you know their life and you just know that they're not right with the Lord, but yet they keep saying that, they keep going back to that one time in their life that didn't impact any of the rest of their life. And you're trying to explain that, and if you're not careful, you'll get so frustrated in that you don't get anywhere. How do you keep that from happening? It's love. It's love. Just got to understand that there was a time that God was loving on me, Brother Honeycutt, when I didn't understand.
Yep.
And if you're here and you're saved, there was a time God was loving on you when you didn't know you needed it.
Right.
And you, as much as you or I try, I cannot express to somebody the need for salvation, the need for God's love in their life. I can't do that. I can talk all day, but if the Holy Spirit doesn't do the talking, then it does nothing. And so my job is to love and to be faithful, to live a life pleasing to the Lord, and to share that stuff with them, to share the gospel with them, tell them of the love of God, but I can't be responsible for the results. I can't be, and you can't either. And so don't get frustrated when the results aren't happening like what you expect. You know what you do? You just keep loving.
Yes.
You just keep loving.
That's it.
That's what we do. So that's what we're called to do. We are to just continue on being like Christ in this world. And sometimes, I've been reading over in the book of Proverbs, and sometimes love is not always nice either. Sometimes I show love to my kids through just telling them the truth.
Yes.
And you say, well, I thought if you love somebody, I'm always nice to them. Well, you do it in the right attitude. But there's times that you have to cut through some of the nonsense with people. And you do. And you have to understand that what you say may hurt them. I think the Scripture says somewhere, faithful are the
wounds
of a friend.
Okay.
Don't the Scripture say that?
Yes.
What do you think that's talking about? better than sacred love. Sometimes you got to be careful. That's where it takes. You ever heard of that word discernment?
Right. Yes.
That's where it's so important for Christians, you and I, when we're talking to somebody, to be able to discern when is right to step right in there and say, "Wait just a second. You're saying this, but let me lay this out for you. Here's the truth. And I'm telling you this because I love you." Right? There's a place for that. But you know, sometimes there's a place for a, "I love you, and I'm going to be praying for you." And you walk away. And to know which one to be at the right time, you better make sure that herein is our love made perfect. You got to make sure that you're where you're supposed to be able to help somebody else in the place that they're at. And that takes time. It takes discernment. It takes the Holy Ghost on the inside driving that.
Yes.
And I don't know how to explain it, but if you've ever been there talking to people, you know when the Holy Ghost says, "Shut it down." And there's a time that just happens. And I'll be honest with you, I've been in houses and us sitting there trying to love on people, and the Holy Ghost is saying, "Shut it down." But then there'll be somebody that has so much zeal that they don't shut it down. And then if you sit there long enough, you watch the people that you're trying to witness to, you see they shut down.
Right.
This person's still
That's
going wide
counsel,
open.
Brother.
Got a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge.
Right.
They're desiring to share something because it's so important. And it's right in its place. But sometimes it's wrong. Sometimes you can do more harm than good.
Right.
And you've got to know when to quit.
Yeah.
How does that happen? It's discernment. It comes by this spending time right here, spending time on your face before God. You just got to know. And that comes through the Holy Ghost working on the inside of you. And there's a time to shut up. You're out witnessing somebody. Don't just keep beating them. When they didn't receive the disciples, what did they do? They didn't just keep beating the door down. They left. There's a time for that. Don't mean you quit loving them. That don't mean you stop. That don't mean you don't ever say nothing else to them. That's not what I'm getting at. I'm just saying, be careful how we do this. Make sure that what we're doing it in the right attitude, right motives. That you're not doing it to make sure that you see results on your end. Paul said, "Some planteth, some watereth." You might just be a planter.
Yeah, brother.
That may be it. That may be all God has for you. That's okay. Plant. Do the best planting you can. Lay them rows out straight. Do it. Be a seed sower, Nathaniel. Crank that thing wide open. Let her rip. Crank it as fast as you can go. Get as much out of it as you can. It might be for you to do that and walk away. Just be careful how you handle it.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get at today. Because you are representing the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I never read one time in the Scripture, Kevin, where he beat somebody up, just beat and beat and beat, to get them to believe on him. I never see that, not one time. He just loved people. And he put his love out there so easily seen that they either chose to grasp it or they chose to not. But he just loved them. He showed compassion. And that's what we're supposed to do. We go out there and love on people. We show them the love of God. We tell them about it. We use the Scripture to teach them. And when they want to hear, man, we share. And sometimes they don't want to hear, and you don't share. But you just let them know you love them and you want to help them. And that's just the way it is. So just be careful how you represent. You are an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful how you handle yourself. This goes for me too, every one of us. I've been on every end of this. I have. I've been the one who kept going when I should have shut up. I've been the one who the Holy Ghost has worked in and said it's time for y'all to shut up and watch the other person keep going and try to shut them up. Say, we got to go. We need to go. Let's go. It's both sides. And I've probably been on the other end of being the one receiving the love and not wanted to hear it at times. And then I've been the one that's received it at times and loved hearing it and wanted more of it. Been on all, as far as I know, I guess I've been on all aspects of that. And you have too. And we just got to be careful how we handle ourselves. But look at verse 18 here. We'll move on. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And so what we see here is that firstly is with the consolation that we find. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. You see, there's no greater consolation for a Christian than to just dwell and rest in the love of God. When you get to a point in your life where you can just understand what God demonstrated at Calvary for you, and you just grab a hold of that and rest in that, there's just a peace that floods your soul, and that affects how you live your Christian life. And you have to get to that point, but we have to continually work to stay at that point and get farther. I don't know how to explain that, but he says there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 3 and see how Paul said this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So he's talking about strength through the Spirit in the inner man. And here's what happens. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in what? In love. You see the importance here of his love. You see, you're not rooted and grounded in your love. What are you getting rooted and grounded in? His love, the love of Christ. He says to be rooted, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints. This is his desire for every saint of God. Every child of God to get a hold of his love. With all saints, what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height? And I'm not going to go into all that. But it says, and to know the love of Christ. That's his desire for you and for me. To wrap our minds and our hearts around what his love is for us. Which passeth knowledge. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. How do you get all of Him? You got to have a good understanding of His love for you. That's how that happens. You wrap your mind around what He is and who He is and what He's done for you. And then that impacts you so that it fills the inner man with that love. But that takes time.
Right.
This is not something that occurs in a moment. It takes time in the Word of God. It takes time hearing the preaching. It takes time with the Spirit of God working in your life, demonstrating to you. I have a greater understanding now of the love of God than I had when I was 9 years old and got saved. I didn't know nothing about it then. I mean, really? To look back, Creston, I knew nothing in comparison to what we know now. But as I go on, God uses things in our lives. He uses situations. He uses our mistakes, our failures. Praise the Lord. He uses things in our lives over time to mold us and to help us to understand His love for us. There's been times, Nathaniel, that I failed and thought, Lord, You're done with me. But then the Holy Ghost comes by and reminds me of His love for me. And once again, I get that greater understanding of how much He loves me. He let me have kids to help me understand how much He loves me. I mean, there's just things in life that He does. And all of that's for a purpose, folks. Everything God, there's none of that is for no reason. You understand that? All things work together for good to them that love God, them who are the called according to His purpose. Yes. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. There's a purpose in what He does. And He does that so that we can grow in His love, in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. All those different things. He wants you to grow. He wants you to be made perfect in love. He wants you to be complete. Don't leave here and tell anybody I'm teaching sinless perfection. That's not the case. But God wants us to get to a point where we're living victoriously. Where we're living in a way that we're motivated by love every day to reach people, to love people. The work that we do, where your job no longer is just a job to earn money, but it becomes your mission field. Where your home is a mission field. Where all those things, it's motivated by the love of God. This is high living. It's hard, isn't it? Maybe it's easy for some of you. I don't know. This is hard for me. But God wants us to love like that. But the only way we can get there is to grasp how much He loves us. And if you can't see it at Calvary, you're not going to see it. That's where we find His love, right? But look just on my Bible, the previous page over in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse number 4, he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His what? Great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Yes. And I've got written in my Bible from back when we did the study on Ephesians here that what that great love is in this passage, how that it's unconditional and it's unmerited, but it's uplifting and it's uniting us with Christ. Right. And it's also an unending love. That's what makes it so great. Right. We just got the first view of it at Calvary. But here it says that in the ages to come,
yes,
it's a love without end. That's what it is. And I still not wrap my mind around it, Doug. I still can't wrap my mind around His love for me. Because day after day, I see failure after failure in my own life. But yet there's not a day goes by that He's not faithful to come by and love on me anyway. That the Holy Ghost doesn't remind me what He did for me. I can't wake up in the morning and not think, Lord, I'm so glad that You love me. When I bow my head to pray, what do I think? Lord, I thank You for Your love.
Yes.
And the older we get, the more we understand His love for us. How much did He have to love us to look through everything that we've done to Him? You ever ask yourself that question? You know that nothing you've done's ever took him by surprise.
Guarantee that's right.
He think of the worst thing you've ever done. He loved you through that. He loved you before that. That was all, we've said this over and over, that was all future. God loved us while we were yet sinners.
Oh, yes.
He loved us through that, and I'm thankful for it. But it was Paul's desire for us to know God's love and to be rooted and grounded in it, to rest in it, and to know God is motivated by love.
Yes.
That's what motivated him to send Christ to Calvary. That's why we can understand how much he loves us, because of that. But so much of our Christian life and our anxiety, our worry, our fear, you know what? It's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. We don't have to deal with that stuff if we will rest in Christ. If we understand, Kevin, if we could get to a point in our lives where we understood that every bad thing, what we consider bad, every sickness, every wrong that somebody does to us, every piece of bad news we get, if we could ever get to a point where we can just rest in who God is and His love for us and understand that there is absolutely 100% a purpose behind that.
Yes.
And every bit of Him is motivated by His love for us. We could take our hands off of all of it. And say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand why we're here. I don't understand why my family's in this place. I don't understand why we're suffering here. But we could just take our hands off of it and say, Lord, but I'm resting that You do know why we're here. And that You have a purpose. And it's so that I can better understand who You are and what You've done and Your love for me. We rest in that, and that anxiety and that fear and that worry and that dread, all that stuff can leave.
Right.
But you only get to that place in our lives through understanding His love for us. We got to get to that place. Otherwise, we're going to continually live in fear and anxiety and worry. Because how many of us in here are saved? Hopefully most of us, right? How many of you have ever feared since you've been saved? How many of you ever get anxious over a situation? How many of you get some bad news from a doctor and your first thing is a bad thought? What's going wrong now, right?
Oh, yes.
What's coming around the bend now? What's the next hurdle we've got to get through? But Rick, if we could get to a place where we just understood that that may be the next blessing that God's bringing our way.
Right.
Just don't know it. I mean, Doug and Valerie, I mean, y'all are sitting here. How many years ago has it been when you received bad news? 6 years. Would you thought 6 years ago that you'd be where you're at now? Folks, it's real.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a real thing. God brings people through stuff. Yeah. Now, He might not bring you through it, but He may use your trouble, your situation, to demonstrate the joy that a Christian can have through suffering.
Yeah. Right.
But you can't have joy in that suffering without understanding His love for you during that suffering. You got to get a hold of it. If we're going to do what He's called us to do in this life, we've got to get a hold of His love for us. And to get there, you've got to go to Calvary. Got to go to Calvary. Keep your mind on Calvary. What Christ did at Calvary. Folks, He's got us. He loves us. And we can rest in Him. And we don't have to have His fear. And that says perfect love casteth out fear, pushes it away. That's what happens when you get a hold of His love for you. It starts pushing out all that anxiety, all that worry, all that fear. But you have to get to that point. And apparently I have run out of time. But I appreciate everybody's good attention this morning. And And I hope that there's some encouragement in that, that you can rest in His love for you. And that's His desire, is that we enjoy that. My kids, I don't want my kids to ever have to worry about me not loving them. Do you?
No.
Do you think the Heavenly Father is any different than that? He never wants there to be one question in your mind about whether or not He loved you then or if He still loves you now. That's why He gave you the greatest picture of love that man could ever see. That He sent His Son to die at Calvary for you and me. It don't get no better picture than that. It's the best picture I've ever seen of somebody's love for me. And He loved you that way. And the blessing we saw just a few weeks ago, He still loves you that way. And we sung Wednesday night about a love that won't stop. Loved you with a love that won't stop. It just keeps giving. Folks, we can rest in Him today. Rest in that love. Let that fear, anxiety go away. We're about to have worship here in just a few minutes. And you know what help us all? Is to let all that fear, all that worry, all the anxiety about stuff outside of here, just go for a little, let it go for a little while. Rest in what Christ has done. Let us come in here and worship Him for who He is.
Yes.
I appreciate everybody's good attention. We'll have prayer down the hallway there.